resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
We're off into hour number two, and you can follow along as always, towardanarchy.com. Look for September 4th. You see Luke Tatum as my guest. Host of Culture of Peace podcast, which you can catch up on that, the issues, episodes of it that have been released over the years, and it's at luketatum.com. And then we're of course talking about the bigger sort of financial thing here, because I know this is of interest to people across the network. I know this is a concept that you guys are familiar with, but I don't know how familiar with it. You're probably like me. You know it. There's an idea there. You understand it, but you never really talked to somebody about it, never really taken the time to find out the details. And that's kind of what we're doing with Luke Tatum here, talking about infinite banking, becoming your own banker, investing in yourself, making it so that when you need to borrow money, you borrow money from yourself. You're your own banker. You pay yourself the interest. All these things that go along with it. And just before we went into the break, Luke, you were talking about when you first heard about infinite banking yourself and what your financial situation was like.
Sure. And I don't know, you probably picked up, I'm not used to being on live radio, so
that's all
I
right.
was caught off guard by the break there. But yeah, I first heard of IBC, and so several years ago, I heard it on a podcast and looked into it a bit more, and I am a hard sell, so I just really took my time with it. I read Nelson's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. I read his other book, Building Your Warehouse of Wealth. I read the Bob Murphy, Carlos Lara books, etc. You know, listen to podcasts, watch videos for a long, long, long time, a couple of years. And my first policy, I was paying about $30 a month. I still have that policy because this is just a truth about these products. Your oldest one is going to be your best performing one. It's very, very similar to the whole plant a tree 10 years ago, that's the best time. Plant a tree today, that's better than not planting one at all, right?
Right.
I butchered the phraseology there, but
good
that
enough.
Is the idea. Your best one, even if it's small, even if you had to do less than you really wanted to and all that, it's going to be the one you started 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago, whenever you started. And so I'm extremely happy to pay that premium every year, even though it's, by comparison to my other policies today, it's small. but it's great. And so what you're doing is you're creating a pool of money that you can lend out, and you're the bank, as you said, as we came back on here. And so, yes, if you are paying an interest rate to an external lender, a third-party lender, a car finance company, a mortgage company, one of these places, you can and, in my view, should take that function back, and you should pay the interest to yourself. And every time that you do that, you will be creating a lifetime of compounding for all of those dollars. And again, to go back to the point before the break, that is whether or not you are currently using the money. You take a policy loan out, and this depends on the type of company, and I'll get as technical as you want to, Michael, but it is kind of a lot for a verbal conversation sometimes, so I don't want to bog people down with things. But if you take a policy loan out, you have an interest rate associated with it. It's usually about 5%. Some companies might be a little under that, what have you. But the key is that the dividend your policy is going to earn it's going to earn the dividend no matter what. So if you take a policy loan out every month for some big purchase and then pay it back, great. If you take a policy loan out for almost the entire cash value that you have available and you don't pay it back, and you just let it ride for 7, 10, 20, 30 years, that's fine. It's compounding. It's accruing interest that you're going to owe later. But if you're buying investments or something, that might be fine, right? Whenever you have the cash flow, whenever you have the asset mature to the point that you can make a profit, use the profit to clear your policy loan and your cash value's all back, plus all the dividends you earned while you were making your investment. I don't know if that made any sense.
No, it absolutely does to me. But then again, I have a better understanding of these things because I have spent time just trying to pay attention. Again, I haven't dove in like you. I definitely have not spent years trying to understand it. But I'm also somebody who just kind of I just tend to get stuff. I'm not. I may be a hard sell when it comes to really getting me to put my money down on, but you don't have to explain the fundamentals of it. Usually the reason I'm a hard sell on the money is because I don't have it. I don't have any of it. that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I'd love to buy that. I think it sounds fantastic, but I don't have any money. No, you don't understand. I don't have any money. That's something
I'm not selling you anything. Yeah.
Well, that's changing for me, and I know it does for a lot of people that are moving later on in life, whatever. I'm 50 years old. I'm just starting a new business venture that's paying off fairly well, and so all these things are happening that are positive. And so in my own life, it's important for me to start considering these things. And believe it or not, this is not I never do on these things from one week to the next. I never have any intention of sort of trying to get people to buy into what it is we're talking about here. I do these things for myself. I'm having this conversation with you so that you and I can enjoy a conversation and talk to each other. But I think that there's a value in it that I understand that exists that other people can really truly get out of this, because I understand the basic idea of money, and I understand the basic idea of banking, and I understand the basic idea of interest and why these things work the way they do and how they work. And so it makes perfect sense to me when I see it's funny because I watch in the social media and I watch detractors sort of come in and try to troll and try to talk a little, BS. And they really expose themselves as really not understanding what it is that you're trying to accomplish when you're talking to people about these things. These things are happening. These are normal functions of these products, these services, this banking, these are all normal functions of it. And so there's nothing, you're not doing anything, you're not trying to shuffle the cards around on the table and hide the ball from somebody. This is just how these financial instruments work themselves, and the idea that the barrier that we have to break is getting people to believe that they themselves can be the holders of these financial instruments and manage them the way they do.
Right. It's something that everybody has a different sticking point, right? It's some people are just diehard in love with 401ks for some reason. Some people are just, they were raised to believe certain things about the bank or whatever. They're just different things that people stick on, and that's fine. I don't know if you can hear my rooster crowing in the back behind me, but it's really fun for me, Michael, to go in and try to just explore those ideas and just say, hey, okay, I understand you said this when we were talking. Let's go into that a little bit more, because from my perspective, I'm seeing that a little bit differently. And, I don't want anybody to feel bad talking about money with me. Right? you heard the rooster?
No, we've got two, and they kind of go at biting itself and crying a minute ago. So I'm used to the animals
and the
little noises.
Right.
It's so... I'm completely there. I'm that guy. So what you're talking about is sort of answer. If you're talking in sales terms, you're talking about answering the objection. And but what you're really talking about when you're talking about personal, trying to help somebody understand their future and their finances, is getting them to delve into why is it you believe that you don't have what you need to be able to invest in this financial instrument or to invest in this idea.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I mean, I'm working on a book. I don't know. You've probably seen me posting about that on Facebook and whatnot, but I'm creating that as sort of a becoming your own banker with some additional context for the modern needs that people have. Some questions that keep coming up over and over and over again, conversations with clients and, you know, trying to just break down some of these barriers. That's the idea, because Nelson's book is very short. To anyone who has not read that book, Becoming Your Own Banker, it's 92 pages, and I don't know, 13, 15 of those pages are just full page tables of numbers. So it's really fast. You can read that in one day or even an afternoon if you're a fast reader. And even though it's short, it's something that I reread every year because it helps you to kind of understand some of these big concepts. A lot of people, though, they read that book and they go, wow, that sounds really cool, and then they never do anything, right? And they just, they find it a little confusing because Nelson Nash talks in metaphors all the time. He talks about stealing the peas from the grocery store. Like, what the heck does that mean? Well, he's talking about being honest with yourself when you're doing business. And so if you are the bank and you're the client of the bank, you have to be conceptually both of those people for this to work. Well, banks have to make loans with an interest rate in order to make money. So you should charge yourself an interest rate. He would recommend that you charge the rate you would have had to pay if you were going to a regular lender. So for a car, for example, let's pretend you would have to pay a 10% rate of interest on your car loan. Well, you've got cash value in your whole life policy. Loan it to yourself at 10%. Make the payment you would have made anyway. So your cost is exactly the same. You're not changing anything except who is who in this scenario. You are the bank, not the bank. So you're going to pay yourself the interest rate. Now, you're also going to pay a little interest to the insurance company itself, but it's an extremely attractive low rate. And so whatever that spread is, goes in your policy, it capitalizes, it earns you dividends for the rest of your life. Dividends are not guaranteed, but to go back to an earlier point, right, it's over 100 years of consecutive payments. Some of these companies have over 150 years of consecutive dividend payments. And so we're talking about, again, to reference something you've already touched on, this stuff is old. This is how people saved money. If you read Mises in, I'm going to say Theory and History is the book that he says this. I could be wrong. But he talks about how the companies, the place where money is it's with life insurance companies and banks, right? Banks had money. They had more money back then than they do now, more, like real money, because there used to be a gold standard and all of those things. But now it's life insurance companies. Life insurance companies are not part of the Federal Reserve System. They are not making fractional reserve loans. Your money is there in your whole life contract. It says plainly that you, the owner of the policy, are the first person with access to the funds in that policy. You access it via loans, and that's why you get this double duty dollar kind of thing going on where it earns dividends and you get to use it. But the money is there. So if you needed to surrender your policy and just take it all at once and move on for some reason, I would usually advise against it. But if you needed to, it's there. And they're going to give it to you. They don't declare bank holidays. They don't get to do any of that stuff because they're not in the system. And so it's non-inflationary. And the way that Carlos Lara, Bob Murphy would put it in their book, How Privatized Banking Really Works, that's their thrust. That's the thesis of the book, is that you can be a privatized banker. You can take this back from this weird quasi-public banking sector, and you can be the guy or the girl that controls the money, right? And you can do anything you want to with it. There's no how much do you make, when are you going to pay it back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They literally don't care if you make a payment on your loan or when.
It's funny because I can just imagine sort of people who just really have no concept of banking and money listening and thinking it's a scam, but it's not. That's the weirdest thing. And the reason I say that is because I get that line of thinking, but I've seen people do it. I've seen it happen. I've heard it happen. I've watched it happen where that's what they get out of it. And it's funny because there's nothing illegal or nefarious or weird about it. It's just the way it functions, and you're putting yourself and putting yourself in a different position, and that, I guess, that's what's foreign to people. It's kind of like that idea that we're not supposed to talk about important things like politics or money or religion. You know, there's a reason those three things are sort of on that list right there, and money being one of the biggest ones that actually gets left off the list a lot of times. They just talk about politics and religion. You're not supposed to talk about it. Well, you're not supposed to talk about money and people's finances and things like that either. Just imagine the office situation where, you know, they come right out and do not talk to other people about your money and your financial situation, how much you make. And it's funny that we do that because someone like me, someone like yourself, I imagine you sit back and you see that the reason that that's done is because somebody's trying to hide something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, banks used to, before they were disallowed because this was seen kind of negatively, but if we look 40, 50 years ago, banks used to send bank personnel out into like elementary schools and help kids set up bank accounts.
Right. We used to get the little piggy bank or whatever, and you could have like a starter account. And I remember some things like that. Yeah.
Why did they do that? Well, they want you to use their system, and they do not want you to know that not only is this, you know, infinite banking, whole life policies, is that a great place to put money? But they super, super don't want you to know that they are doing that themselves. Bank-owned life insurance to the tune of tens of billions of dollars. I mean, they earn a lot of money from having life insurance policies.
Their employees?
Yeah, yeah. It's called key person insurance, and they use it as sort of a golden handcuff for people. That's what they call it. It's an industry inside term. But you know, you can take some of the benefit of it while you're working there, but you lose that if you leave. And so, you know, it's great as long as you stay with the company. It's a way to say, hey, you're so valuable, we're trying to keep you here with Bank of America or with Citigroup or with whoever, whatever big corporation, Coca-Cola. But the really nice thing for the corporation is that when you die, even if you don't work there anymore, they get to collect the death benefit.
Yeah. And that's another thing where somebody listening to this that doesn't understand is going to say, well, that sounds criminal. Well, no, it's just a thing. It just is.
That it is.
Well, I laugh because the whole idea tickles me that people are so ignorant of what money is and what it does and how it really works within the system and what it truly means to have a free market and to practice things like providing yourself wealth, growing your own wealth. We got to go into a break here. We'll come back and wrap up this conversation here with Luke Tatum.
in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Let's go!
Tom, as always, to follow along. Unfortunately, this happens every time we do this. It began, it has to end. That's the way it goes. Talking with Luke Tatum, talking about the infinite banking concept and becoming your own banker, and just getting to know Luke, because I've seen him across the social media for some time now, talking about these things and giving the kind of answers and using the approaches that I find best work in my life. There's sort of a number of things that you've mentioned throughout our conversation here, Luke, that I didn't want to interrupt you, didn't want to stop you or jump into the conversation, but just sort of wanted to clap and applaud just the approach and your just the way you obviously are attempting to do this, and the whether it's get to connect with people to help them with their finances and to help them with their wealth in the future, or whether it's to get to know them and just have that conversation. And I really appreciate that. As a business person, I understand that and I get that. I I own a business that is fairly niche. You probably know I own a comic book shop. And so there's this, there's only 2,500 or so of them in the nation. And, you know, there's that many McDonald's, I think, just down the block from me in comparison. It's this industry where my customers are repeat customers, and they come to me. They when they come into my store, they expect me to know. God, I had a lady come in this week, just a Karen, and just one of these off rocker, just can't control herself types, and just won't ever, you know, let her knowledge go. Let somebody else speak. Let somebody else fill in the gap. And so I just ran into one of these people this week that said, no matter what, you're never going to please them. And they expect you to know everything, and they expect you to know it without fail. You know, there's you can't have any questions of your own understanding of knowledge. And I could go into detail, but suffice it to say, I think everybody knows this. I think everybody has had this kind of conversation and had this sort of experience before, particularly business owners and small business owners. Your customers really come to you and expect you to understand and know what it is, who they are, and to know your product and know what it is they need. I don't know how many times I'm asked, well, what about this book, or what about this story, or, you know, what's coming down the pipeline? Where's the number one? Where can I jump into a point and find a new place in this story to begin? And so there are any number of things like that, is, you know, that you said throughout the conversation. I think you're fantastic, and it's obvious that you're going to succeed. The idea of writing a book, I'm a huge geek on all these writers. I bring guys on and talk about their books, and even if I've never read them, just the idea, the off chance of getting some little piece of information or secret out of them, maybe that will help me get the discipline, the courage to sit down and write my own, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on that subject, Michael, I would just tell you that it's all in your head, right? you gotta get started before you can get finished. And I've started probably 8 books, I would guess, before I wrote this one, and all of those would stop after about 5 chapters, something like that. And this one, I just sprinted to the finish. I got it done, and now it's just revisions. So you know, it's 90% ready to release. I just need to hammer down the title, hammer down the release date, all that.
The minor details, yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. It really is true. I know better than anybody that it's a matter of making the effort and really taking the time. That's really what it comes down to. My thing about the writing, and putting, you know, sort of something down in a book or down on a piece of paper, is that it's the opposite of what I do here. Whereas here, I can just come and we can throw out ideas, and we can talk about them, and we can be wrong, and we can have a misunderstanding of the information that we have, and we can write it off to the moment, or you know, the conversation moving in a different direction, or for whatever reason, we don't have to take this conversation as being written in stone. Whereas, you know, you sort of write something in stone, there it is.
Right. That's true.
Well, I would want it to be perfect, I guess. I'm a bit of a crazy perfectionist in that sense. So I wish you the best of luck on that. I hope it's really great. And you got to let me know when it's all finally done, because I'd love to have you back on to chat about the details of it and how it's going, not just from the writing standpoint, but as far as, you know, educating people on the topic.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, you bet. I really like these conversations that end up being sort of win-win, because I'm not having you on here to try to get the audience to buy something, but I hope they do. I really hope that they do buy into the idea of infinite banking, because I think I it's obvious that there's something there for people to gain. There's no question about it. It's just breaking that barrier of understanding and really giving – it's empowering people to take charge of their own wealth. And I appreciate that you do that, and I thank you for your time, my friend.
Thank you very much.
It's been great talking to you, and I'll be in touch with you a little later, and I'll have a link archive and all that good stuff up there, and make sure we can share it around, because I think it's great information. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Appreciate it, Michael. Take care.
Take care. You too. I will be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your host Michael Storm.
Porter here, and got me thinking about football now all of a sudden for some reason. I don't know why. Because I've been away from it for years now, and I'd already separated myself from it even years ago. Really the last time I was a fan, in terms of sort of I have to watch my team every week, would have been back in college. I would have been in my early 20s at the most, I'm not even sure exactly what it was. I don't know if it was the exercise of having to call football games or to call college sports, basketball, baseball. I've done all of those, and have to maintain that neutral position to be able to call the game as you see it, as it really truly is, and not from the perspective of somebody who is sided, somebody who's choosing a team, somebody who's a fan because of the colors, the city, the name, the quarterback, whatever it is, as opposed to a fan of the sport, which is I appreciate, because after that I became a fan of the sport. I wanted to see the athletes on the field succeed and do the best that they could on both sides of the ball. It was really interesting change in my life, and I really appreciated the fact that it happened, because I come from a football town. I'm from Denver, and I'm from the 70s and 80s, and so my team lost big and won big when it came to it. And my quarterback was the quarterback that brought those victories to Denver, and they did it in my era, in my time, in my youth. And so it's kind of great, because I was able to participate in one of those things that a lot of people to participate in, but that there's no particular value in. But I did it back when it didn't make any difference. Now I could sit around and be lazy and watch and completely immerse myself in all of those things, but I think that at this point in my life, there's probably so much more important, interesting things I could do than be a fanboy. I could still be a fan. Then it's tough with the comic books, I tell you that. Very tough with the comic books, because I try to maintain a certain distance from all of my entertainment and my knowledge about a deeper knowledge that the geeks and the fanboys tend to have about all of these things, which is ridiculous, except for that I do it for the fact that then it doesn't ruin any of these things for me. If I go to experience a new movie or the latest comic book or something like that, I haven't had anybody else's opinion forced on me, foisted upon me. None of that has happened to me. I try to avoid it, and so I get to enjoy these things for what they are. I get to enjoy football because I enjoy the competition and because I love to see the sport, not because I'm a fan of the team. If the team loses, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not sad. I see these people walk around, they're crushed, their team loses. I'm wanting sort of national champions, these Kansas City Chiefs. I'm wanting them to, fall on their face all the time just so I can see the people walk around dejected. No, it's not true. It's the opposite. I don't ever want to see them losing, because I want to see these sad, sorry saps wandering around in that terrible red-orange color that they have, being all upset about the fact that their team, that they have no benefit from, get nothing out of. They spend more time dejected and upset about the fact that they've lost, or that one of the team players has raped somebody or punched somebody or shot somebody or done some drug. They're always wrapped up in this mire of somebody else's existence that has nothing to do with you, and I don't have that. I get to enjoy all of these things. I'm telling you, I tell you this because I'm telling you to let it go. You've got to let it go. You've got to let be a bad fan. Be like me. Don't know everything about all of it. Let some of it be a surprise. Let some of it entertain you and be fun for you. You don't have to especially this stuff that's just so not important. At least with the comic books, people are reading. It was great. I had a father with a young kid. It's probably grandfather, I suppose, with a young kid come in yesterday to the store, and he immediately recognized, out of everything, and spoke about everything, about the value of reading. It's not comic books, it's not kids' things, it's not fan stuff, it's not superhero stuff, it's reading. It's getting a different, it's using those different functions of yourself, your own brain, your own mind, to fill in the gaps and to involve yourself in the story. I've had this happen before. Somebody would suggest that I go read Jane Austen or Gone with the Wind or something like that would be the same person who would tell me that I shouldn't read comic books. The comic books are for kids, or that there's no value in them. I would tell you the exact same thing about Jane Austen or Gone with the Wind. I find it extremely funny that when people say that you should read, that what they really mean is that you should read the books that they want you to read. That's the funny thing that gets all these people run around all the time talking about, oh, people should read more. People should read more. I don't read Jack. I don't read Squad. I read comic books and I read digital pages of information on the internet. I don't read books. You know why? Because I don't care about Moby Dick. I don't care about Stephen King's latest thriller of somebody strapped to a bed imagining, you know, horrible shadows and the shadow people in the corner. Whatever it is. Obviously, I have read that. But I did it again when I was much younger and there were less other things that needed attention or that I thought that my time would be better spent doing. It's funny to me because here's one, another example of the same idea is people who watch serialized television shows. The people who watch serialized television shows at night make fun of the people who watch serialized television shows during the day, but they're the same damn thing, the exact same thing. The same stupid plots, the same ridiculous characters. It's all just nonsense. And it's everybody nitpicking and standing up for this one thing that they understand. And they don't even understand it, because if they really truly understood it, they'd realize it for what it is in relation to other things and accept that they're just like everybody else, whether it's daytime soap operas. Excuse me. Sorry, I don't have a. That's one of the problems on this one. Is there's no mute on this microphone. If I actually flick that to mute, it will disconnect me from the Skype that we connected the network with. So I can't hit that button. It won't let me do that. It's the same thing. Whether it's wrestling, whether it's daytime soaps, whether it's nighttime entertainment television, whether it's comic books, it's whether it's the drama of your neighbors and what you're watching your friends talk about across the social media, whatever. It's all the same thing. It's all literally exactly the same thing. So as you're telling somebody about how stupid or bad their thing is, you better stop and realize how much of it you do that's exactly the same thing in some minor varying form of it, and stop thinking of yourself as being better than other people, because the truth is you're probably not. You're probably not. You're just like everybody else. You may excel at a certain area. You may do one thing so much better than everybody else, but there's probably a long list of things that you can't do at all compared to the handicapped kid next door. I mean, that's the truth of it. I think especially in today's terms, because I think we find a lot of people who specialize. There used to be people a lot more like myself. Some silliness. I call myself the Mike of all trades, Jack of all trades. There's that thing. And it's because I've had all of these different experiences in jobs and employment and various forms of making money or just living from one day to the next throughout my life. I did a list years ago, and it was something of 25 or 30 different career things that I dabbled in and I tried. And I'm successful at any one of them, and any one of these things that you could put me to task to do, I would do just as well as anyone, if not better. And that's part of my realizing that bigger picture idea, that it is all the same, that we should approach a lot of these things, talk about this a lot, that we should approach all these things that we do from the same general direction, having the same concept about how you get from A to B to C. I think that people fail to apply the simplest ideas across the board in their life, and they get lost in the quagmire of ideas instead of function and what they can really do if they just put. Now, I get there are some people that there are things that you try to do that you'll never be able to do because of anxiety or something along those lines, some physical or mental barrier that keeps you from being able to do things. And oftentimes it's a mental thing tied to a physical thing or that exacerbates a physical thing. And so it may not be as easy to overcome. I know that tension, hypertension, different things like that, both mental and physical tied together, that you can't, it's hard to separate them, especially after years and years. High levels of anxiety, situations that people like myself will find to be considerably less stressful than most other people will. And some of it is to do with experience, but a lot more of it is just to do with attitude. And there's a little bit of a hint of that. I wasn't really even thinking about it, but it's just another one of these fantastic things that I've come across. I guess it's the benefit of the technology knowing us a little bit. The technology knows what I'm looking for. It knows that I'm looking for positive things. And so it actually provides some of those things to me occasionally. Go to towardanarchy.com. Look for September 4th. If you have to, just click on the episodes button if you're not with me live. 2022, we're into September finally. It's been what a year. Luke Tatum, the guest, look for the September 4th. And there's a couple other links that I shared for you aside from the information on Luke. If you would love that conversation that we had, you want to follow up more on him or any of the ideas that we're talking about in banking, those links are there for you. But there's a couple other links there that I share. I always try to. And I might have to jump back to last week, the show that never happened. But if you look at the second link that I share after also there, it's optimistic people live longer. And that's what the science shows, that there's this modest increase in lifespan for people who are optimistic. And this raises a whole bunch of different questions. But to me, it warrants a further investigation of that information. What is the causality? What are the specific factors? Is it a direct attention to the idea of living better, or is it a subset, a result of a number of other factors? Because somebody who has a generally positive outlook is probably also going to eat better, is probably also going to exercise more. They're going to have... they're going to be up and more active in general. And so those things themselves are going to raise the life expectancy of an individual, certainly modestly, if not more. And then, of course, if you can expound on those things, if you can find exactly what factors feed into each other, whether it is just about the thought or whether it's about those combination of things, and whether you can stress those things, work on them and bring them to the surface and make ourselves live longer and better in the end. There's a link there. It's inclusive. I don't mean to be rude about the word inclusive, but it's so misused anymore. The word inclusive is just abused and beaten at this point. But this is an inclusive study. The data is there. You can go look through it yourself and decide what you think it means. But this is one of the things that crosses not sex barriers, because it was just talking to women, but still could cross gender barriers or whatever those things are, but race and social class were not a factor in these, because it was a wide-ranging study that included those in there, and take numbers for what they are, what it is. But I think that everybody knows, anybody who's at all mildly self-aware of themselves, they realize that positive thinking improves your health outlook, would increase life. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher, because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now 2/3 of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Intro. It's so simple, but it's classic, and it just happened. It just had to play, didn't it? Just right there, had to, because in all of this, I've been, you know, busy for the last couple of months, the business and all these things that are going on, and my drumming time has sunk to next to nothing. I'm still playing a little bit every week, but I'm definitely not getting in those quality beats that I had been, and it's a bit of a Jones. I'm feeling it in my bones. I need to get out the sticks and beat the skins a little bit, and then there's all these other things that need to be done, and just and you know what, I look at it and I say, it doesn't matter. None of it matters, because it all still needs to be done. It'll all still need to be done tomorrow, and there'll be something else that needs to be done after that, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't end. You know why? Because this is life. This is it. This is day to day. This is who we are, and if you just quit right in the middle of it all, you end up living and not voluntarily, not because you want to, not because this is how you feel and this is who you are, under a tree, in a shopping cart, in a box, whatever, in behind my comic book shop. There's a lot of tent city stuff going on, even in Topeka here. They raise them every once in a while, and there's slowly but surely one building up around the creek that runs back behind the comic book shop. We have insurance and we have security, and that doesn't keep us from getting. Did I tell you we got robbed? We got jacked the other day. I don't think I did, because it probably happened, you know, right in a point where we had, you know, sort of issue between my technology and not having a show last week and everything. Somewhere in there, it got lost. Yeah, we had. It was pretty brazen. I guess it was going around the city. It wasn't just us. It was just this couple of people that were on a spree, and they did a number of places, and they got us. They didn't rob us. That wouldn't have gone over real well. You try to rob my store, odds are you will get shot. I'm just telling you straight up right now that you try to rob my store, there's a very good chance that you will be shot. So don't do it. This was just a sort of snatch and grab thing, and it's funny because the guy, they don't know, they're not a comic book collector, they're thieves, they're somebody that are just trying to steal something, and so they think they know, and they come in and they spot what they think are going to be valuable, and most of the time it would be. You're talking about the sort of graded books that are up on the wall and they're a little harder to reach. There's this one row of them that anybody with a decent height and a decent reach could reach over there and pull them down. And he did this, and he grabbed a couple of them that he thought were valuable, and they would literally, if he'd move one to the left or one to the right, it would have had books worth a couple hundred dollars a piece. But he grabbed the two in the middle and did his little snatch and grab thing, and nobody would give him $20 a piece for it. Even though they looked older, it was great. It was a little bit of justice, and I didn't have to shoot him over. Back next week. Until then, take care.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.